Thursday, September 7th, a rich prospect. 4 days for Lyndon at the ranch. For me, work with Roy and Mr. Wells on the addition. For Linda, showing our home country to Chuck. Mm-hmm. And for Lyndon, I hope, peace and relaxation. He's been gone 2 months. About 10 o'clock, the four of us, Chuck and Linda, and Lyndon and I, took a ride. We went to the Scharnhorst, found the antelopes. I think they've had 2 little ones. And Lyndon talked land and cattle and Marines and family with Chuck. And then we went through the Reagan, seeing more and more bouncy little fawns. There have been lots of twins. And stopped at the fence where the big red English deer lived. And the huge buck came up, looking at us with his evil eye. He is a most frightening animal. The velvet is almost gone from his horn. And he kept butting his head against the mesh with a thudding impact, with his malevolent eye fixed on us, while Lyndon gingerly proffered him a cigarette. My eye, meanwhile, was fixed on the clock. Alas for the Martha in me, a rare time when I could ride with my husband and my daughter and her very likely future husband. And my thoughts were on the interior decorator who was driving up all the way from Houston and the decisions waiting for us in the new rooms. So a little before 12, they dropped me off. Mr. Wells had arrived, and we walked through, congratulating ourselves on the color in the sitting room, a cheerful, glorious yellow. And the fawn trim in Lyndon's room is so smart. His lights remain a lamentable problem. We hammered away at hall lighting and hardware until early lunchtime. Wheezy had driven out to bring some things, and there was Lyndon and Chuck and Marie and Jim and Jenny, Mr. Wells and I. After lunch, Lyndon went off to meet A.W., and Linda took Chuck over to the lake for water skiing and boating. Mr. Wells and I kept working. It was sometime in the middle of the afternoon when I took a break to make some calls. Liz and Bess and Mary Lasker. But I received the call from Max Brooks about 3 o'clock, I think. The bids had come in on the library, within the budget, only a slight percentage over the estimate, everything they had hoped for. The travertine not appreciably more than Texas Shellstone. I know Max and Gordon Bunshaft have been holding their breath. It was a great day, a time to celebrate, another giant step. Sometime later, the Nugents arrived. Lucy and Lynn, Jerry and Phyllis, and little Gerald Nugent III. This is Pat's weekend with the reserves, and he won't be here until Sunday afternoon. The babies are only 1 day apart and so different. Jerry Nugent III, small, active, big-eyed. Little Lynn, about twice as big. He's nearly 16 pounds now. And Lucy laments that he never has been able to wear some of the darling things he got when he was born, especially a pair of blue and white saddle shoes that she could not cram his little feet into. I worked with Mr. Wells until nearly 7, and then the 5 Nugents and I, complete with 2 diaper bags, a supply of bottles, and the babies on papoose boards, went out to get in the helicopter, the Huey. Jerry eyed it and smiled and said, "My favorite helicopter." And I thought of all the other times he had ridden one, in rice paddies in a foreign land. What a world of change. There's a little slim sliver of a new moon just visible in the fading twilight, and the country is a little greener, although here there's been less than an inch of rain. All around us, Austin, San Antonio, even Johnson City and Fredericksburg, 2 and 3 and more inches. The country is a little greener, and there are gay feathers along the highway, goldenrod by the streams, and rain lilies all over the pasture. This morning at the Scharnhorst, we'd seen lots of the yellow-orange ones that come with the granite soil. The Pickles are staying at the beach house, and we all converged on the Haywood, where Linda and Chuck had finished their water skiing and swimming, and we went riding in the big boat. Lyndon took a good look at little Lynn and said, "He looks just like Sam Rayburn, with his stocky build and round, bald head." It was an endearing phrase, but after I'd called him Buster all day, and Linda had said he looked like Winston Churchill, Lucy Bain's smile was a little wry. For such a little girl, he is an armful to carry. And Cinderella has really gone back to the pots and pans and the hearth. She said rather plaintively, "Mother, do you think I can ask Miss Cafella to come for the week before Linda's wedding?" We stayed out on the big boat until the last ray of sun had gone from the sky. It's a tonic, a deep draft of almost tangible restorative for Lyndon, a mixture of the physical and spiritual. And the Pickles are good company. How satisfying to have him for our congressman. We're back on the patio for dinner by 9:30. And then sleeping babies, dirty diapers, bottles, and weary folks all in the helicopter and back to the ranch for a rare bedtime of 11 o'clock.